All right, well, today we're finishing up the fourth and final in a series about the Am I Good Soil? Am I Good Soil? And I've learned about all the three bad things that I already am, that I'm working on and getting out of my life. Pastor Roger, will you come speak to us about being good soil?
Yes, and today is Communion Sunday. Well, we've been in the series, as Nick said, that Am I Good Soil? Am I good soil? Would you ask that question? Am I good soil? Am I good soil? And we looked at the different kinds. We're going to get to the fill in the blanks in a little while. Well, it'll be a little while. And so we looked at the first one. You know, the first soil is this trampled, this hard-hearted, hard soil. And the different way we were looking at this, I've never seen anybody preach on it this way, because most times you hear it's static, like the heavy soil, the hard soil never changed, the hard heart never changes. Yeah, well, no, yeah, if you've had a hard heart, you know God can change it, you know. So we're looking at the idea that you come and plow up that land, and you can pray, you know, Lord, I got a heart like my brother. I got saved before my brother, and some of you heard the testimony, because I was 17 years old. I came to the Lord, and I would go to his room, you know, knock on his door. He opened the door, and I burst into tears, and I'd say, Tommy, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I'd just cry. It got to him after a while, huh? He realizes this is real, and he is a profound, godly man. And it started because somebody cared. I wish I could pray. I wish I had that kind of heart to pray for everybody, you know. And because, look, the Lord came for one reason, is that you would have a blessed eternity with him, and that would begin here. So if you're the trampled on, if you're the person, and you know, so many feel like they've been told so many negative things, or they've had so many negative things happen to them, that they can't perceive that God would be good, you know, that's because the devil is so shrewd at blaming God for what he has done. The devil's very clever to get you and I to think that, how could God take my baby? Well, God didn't take your baby. Life happened. Jesus said, into this life, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have all kinds of troubles and trials and pressures and squeezing and everything. Guess who your hope is? Jesus. He's overcome the world. He'll get into the middle of it. So you always have a choice to be bitter or better. You always have that choice. You don't have to be the bitter one. You can come out the better one. You can. But sometimes you got to just repent of this and forgive and learn the ways of the Lord. The second soil was the soil that didn't have very deep roots. And there are people that rejoice for a short season over the good things that God has done, you know. And then persecution and affliction comes. And it says, for the word's sake. In other words, this is kind of when I look at it. I had no idea that when I especially got into the ministry, that Jesus's enemies were going to be my enemies. I mean, I was going to have a target on me just because. I was like, I didn't want this. I thought everybody would be loving and everything, you know. Well, Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. So the devil wants to work you over. And so you got to be shrewd, you know, wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. But there's some people that they get offended. That's the fall away that says because of the affliction or for the word's sake, it says they fall away. The word of fall away is actually the word offended. It's the scandalizo. It's the word, a scandal in your own soul. How could they ever do that? And it's next thing you know, you're just a tumbleweed. You're one of these people that has professed Jesus at some time, but you just have no root, no sense of character, no sense of stick-to-itiveness. You know what I mean? You're just all over the map. How many of you have been tumbleweeds before? See, everybody, but are you now? No. What can you get roots down? Yeah. Can you be a person that begins to turn to God in your private world and say, I want more of you, and nobody's looking? You know, nobody's looking. You open your Bible, nobody's looking. You're wanting the Lord. You have a heart for him. You can begin to develop. You can repent for bad attitudes in your private time when nobody's looking. I love the other parts when nobody's looking. Like, I love this. I've shared it before, but it's just so funny. I was trying to have my devotions, right? I'm sitting there reading the Bible, having my quote-unquote devotions, right? And the Lord says, I love you. He says this to me, and I'm going, shh, I'm trying to have my devotions. He's letting me know how devoted he is, and I'm not getting it. But you can develop roots. You can grow deeper in the Lord. You can. You can become a tree, like an oak tree with deep roots. And when we looked at that one, we saw that the roots, you know, the tree that's above ground, the roots are about the same amount of distance. A real powerful tree, the roots are deep. And that's the hidden life, that our life is hidden in Christ with God. So there's a beautiful and powerful thing that happens there. Then we looked at last week, we looked at the thorn-choked life. How many of you got a little bit out of that one? Dear Lord. I had no idea when I got into that, looking at that soil, that it was so, I thought it was like the hard one. Hard soil was like the worst, and then the next one was maybe not as bad, and then the next one was less. The third soil is horrific. Oh my God. Unproductive, completely unproductive, because of cares choking out, deceitfulness of riches choking out, pleasures of life choking out, desire for other things choking out, and you end up with pain in your life, thornful pain in your life, because you are not turning to the Lord. But here's the wonderful, beautiful, beautiful thing about pain. It can be used by God to push you toward Him. And when you've come to the end of yourself and you're fed up with the way you've been doing it, here it is. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And His righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep His covenant, remember to do His commandments. The Lord will be with you, be with you, be with you. When you wake up and turn around, He's right there going, took you a little while, didn't it, honey? He's the caring, caring, caring God. There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like Him ever. We will worship Him forever and never get tired of it. There are joys unspeakable and full of glory the moment you leave here, because this is just a cellular level life. This is an energy-based realm of full of the love of God. Don't you go to hell, dear God. Don't you mess up and go. Don't you do that. Don't be an idiot. Not with the profound love of God that's come into the earth. You know, if Jesus wanted to, He could just kind of show up in the sky and show off. Here's what would happen. People would go, do it again, then I'll believe you. That's just what they do. But He already came. He already came. He's coming again. He already came. You need to look at what He did when He came and get to know Him on the basis of what He did and who He is. Because He's coming again. And it says that He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. It's going to be shaky, bakey time. It's going to be real rough. And there will become a great white throne judgment. There will be all kinds of changes. And you will give an account to Him. Did you receive and obey the gospel of Jesus or not? And it's so good to have the assurance of God in your heart that you know Him and you can grow on the basis of that. Now we're going to get to the are you good soil, and we'll look at soil number 4 in a second. But I just want to, before we launch into that, I just want to say this. The Bible is a miracle. It's just a pure miracle. The Bible itself, it stands alone in human history above every other writing. The Old Testament and New Testament put 66 books together. You have history, worship, wisdom, literature, prophetic writings, the gospel of Jesus, the history of the New Testament church, its miracles, and the letters that build up believers. And it concludes with the book of Revelation, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and the end of the age. And it's all about eternal life. I just want to exhort you, be in awe of the Word of God. Cherish it. Cherish the daylights out of the Bible. Just cherish it, cherish it, cherish it. Revere Revere it for what it is. It is the wisdom of God to you and me. Spend time with it. Chew on it. Meditate on it. If you keep God's word, it'll keep you. Put it in you. And it's compared to a seed because a seed has life in it that grows. The word of God in the parable of the sower, it says the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. So the seed is the word. And when you meditate on the seed of the word, it grows inside of you and it produces life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And they will give you a life. There's an assurance, there's a capacity, a life-giving ability for the seed to produce after its kind. And the people who spend the time with it become more like the Lord himself. Not only did Jesus quote 31 scriptures from the Old Testament, but he taught impactful truth with clarity about the true condition of the human heart according to God's standards. You know, I've said this before, but it's in the Word. You know, he says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. And he's quoting basically the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. He said, but I say to you, and he takes it up a notch, but I say to you, if you have hate in your heart. See, then you've committed murder. See, he takes it to a whole nother realm. So here you got this capacity not to be able to be what Jesus wants you to be because you're full of it like I am. You need him more than I do. Not. I need him a whole lot more than you do. Can we have a little argument over that? No, I need him more than you, Pastor. No, I need him more than you. Let's see who needs him the most. Does anybody here feel like I just need Jesus more? To do anything right, I just need the Lord. I just need him in my life. How many of you have, that's a question later. Because the word of God is this redemptive history, the Bible says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here you got 1,500 years, 40 different authors. Holy Spirit actually helps them select words when they're writing, moved upon by the Holy Spirit, write down things. That's why that when you are quickened with a word, there's the word, there's a seed that God's wanting to promote and put inside of you, and you see that, and you're reading the Bible, and this becomes very, when you're starting off, you go, this is really interesting. That's your spirit beginning to eat. It's not just interesting in your mind, it's interesting in your spirit. There's a hunger. Your spirit wants to eat it. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, I found your word and I ate them. I found your word and I ate it. And your words to me were the joy and the delight of my heart. So you begin to eat it and you begin to take it in. The other thing I wanted to just mention that the seed, this the beautiful thing about the seed, and I'll just say this because I don't think I'll get to it later, but this is the powerful thing about the seed. Jesus, being the sower of the seed, also compared himself later to being a seed himself. He said, and so when they came to him, there were some Greek people wanted to meet with him, and one of the disciples came up and said, hey, they want you to go over here. And it was getting close to the time he was going to be crucified and buried and raised from the dead and go through the redemption of our souls through that. And so Jesus actually says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce fruit. And then he says, whoever loves your life in this world will lose it. Whoever loses his life in this world will find it. He's talking about you and I dying like he's died to the things of the world. So in essence, to really be good soil, you become a person who grows more seed. You live a life that people go, there's a fruitfulness. There's how come this guy is so patient with me? He wasn't before. I remember that guy. There's certain people, they had just really anger problems or all kinds of stuff, and then they meet Jesus, and suddenly they're just different. They're different. And the Lord's working. He's crafting a beautiful person out of this person, and they want to go off like they used to, and they just don't have the heart to do it. Say, no, the Lord's changed me so much. I'm so different. I've really been transformed. I'm different now. So there's a new deep change to all that. So anyway, I just love the Word, and I love the power of the Word, and I love what the Word does for us. And here's the deal. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, have this mind in you that is in Christ Jesus. Have this mind among yourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind, this mindset, the way Jesus is. Now, get this. Now, we're going to get to the good soul, but I want to show you the idea that when Jesus gets into your mind and you have a mind like his, these are the dynamic things that begin to happen. It says, have this mind in you that's the same mind that's been in Christ. And then it starts to say, who, being in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So now, see, in that verse, Jesus is letting go of his identity as God. He's letting go of it. And it says, and he emptied himself. And he calls us, empty yourself of all of your stuff. He emptied himself by what? Taking on the form of a servant. He was in the form of God, now he's in the form of a servant. And it says he was born in the likeness of men, so now he becomes a human. And it says, and being found in human form, not only does he empty himself to come out from being God and could become human, now as a human, it says the next step is he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. This is Jesus Christ, the sower, becoming the seed. He says, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How many of you heard Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me? See, people who get the ideology of Jesus Christ, the theology, the thinking of his personage in you, having the mind that is in him inside of you, you begin to live differently. Things that used to attract you, they lose their luster. The values of Jesus become the values of your heart. You want things to last forever. You want people to go to heaven. You want what he wants in the earth. The people who only want what's in the earth lose that and eternity. The people who want heaven in Christ get it all. And he says, because even death on the cross, and then there's a shift in the verse. He says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there's a process that you and I go through. The more we're with the Lord, Paul says, we die daily. We die how often? Once a year? Oh, no. And you know what? I end up having to die on the days I don't want to. How about you? Come on. You know, you just really, really want to. And it's like, this is the moment right here. We're going to die to this. Oh, this is the one.
No, I don't want to die. I want to let them have it.
How many of you? And then you let go of it. The quicker you let go of it and let God in, the peace of God is over your heart and over your soul. It's like, oh. What was I thinking? Man, I'm back in the glory zone with the Lord, right? This is the key. The key is living in that, walking in that, keeping that alive. How many of you know that about 50% of Jesus' teaching in the Bible just came from fielding questions on the street? People come up, ask a question, he just respond. 50% of the teaching of Jesus is just reacting and responding. And so it's important when we take a hold of what, now, he did set up, you know, he did say the things, as we said before, he did say the things like put in parables, and I mentioned to you last week, the parable is kind of like a box of Cracker Jacks, you know, it's got a prize on the inside. And so Jesus would hide the truth of the kingdom of God inside of the parables. And people later, thinking through the parable, they go, oh, wow. You know, like you're doing the dishes, you know. Oh, yeah. And you get the prize. And so this is the way it works. When you meditate upon the Word of God, suddenly you're, because it's alive. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and open your eyes to things. It's deeply in my heart to tell you what, let's just do this. Just let me do this. Just would you lift your head? And I want to pray for you, and then we'll continue with the message. Father God, I just pray that this mind that's in Christ Jesus would begin to truly be laid hold of as in everybody's heart and their life. I pray, Father, that you would give a willingness and a hunger to meditate on your word. I'm asking, Lord, that you would drop into the heart of each person, into the mind, an interest in cherishing your eternal word. That there would come a hunger like never before to open the pages of the book and hear the Holy Spirit speak. For these are the days that this is so needed. And on the tail end of that prayer, I say, now may the profound peace that the Word of God brings to the human soul begin to be exploding on the inside. And let this power of your Word overtake the soul in such a way that there's joys that are known that have never been known before. There's peace that's known that's never been known before. There's prospering that comes that's never been known before. That we value your word and the Spirit of the Lord that comes with your word. The Spirit is moving right now. Let's just go ahead and shift into a place of worship before him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's depositing things. He's depositing things. This is a passion of the Lord. Jesus was quoting the word of God when he was hanging on the cross. He was literally quoting Bible verses hanging on the cross. And in the stress of your life, the Lord wants you quoting verses. When you're going through the crush of it all, what comes up out of you is some precious verse that you've put inside, and it sustains you and releases life into the atmosphere. No matter what's going on with you, that something powerful come out of you. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 And even now, I just want to say, even now, just as we've calmed our hearts and we've just taken this moment, I feel like the Lord's letting me know some strongholds are coming down that have been harassing your life. Some of you, there are things that have been opposed to you. And the Lord says, because you've said to me, I want my mind renewed in the Word. I want to spend time with you in the Word. He says, I'm going to go ahead in advance and take away hassling things. I'm coming before you and wiping out things that were against you. Let's go ahead and thank him for that. Kind of like, don't wait until the victory shout now kind of a thing. Let's just go ahead and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because now see, there have been connivances and strategies and plans of the adversary. And he's wanted to do things to bring turmoil into your heart. And the Lord is saying, I know what's in the realm of the Spirit, and I'm coming to help you. You seek me, I'll take care of him for you. And there's a word, there's a verse on that. He says, you know, you humble yourself before God, right? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You got to submit to God first. Submit to God. Resist the devil. You do resist the devil. You don't submit to God and submit to the devil. You submit to God, and you resist the devil. And the devil will flee from you. That's right. So there's just wisdom in the ways of the Lord. He wants to touch us, to give us hope. And it is my prayer. I've been praying this. I've just been praying this. Guys, just be honest with you. You know, no, a lot of you do know this, but I don't know why, but, well, I just made it a thing. You know, here, let me... I'm going to get to the message, and this is a part of the message, okay? Because it's all about being good soil. It's all about being good soil. But I want you to know, I've memorized more of the Word of God recently than I have in a long time. And my mind, it's addictive. It's my spirit man is going, oh, there's one, and I got to go memorize it. Oh, there's one, I got to memorize that one. There's one, I got to memorize that one. And you know what? It's easy. It's a lot easier than I thought it was. It's a lot easier than I thought it was. I just quoted Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It's easy. I can tell you how I did it. It's just easy. It's not hard at all. You just look at it and eat it. You say, what is the good stuff in here? And the Lord will just come and move in your heart, and just you're participating with Him. It's wonderful. So I've been praying this for you. I've been praying because I have a greater treasure of peace inside. I have all the benefits of it, and I want to be good soil. I've been on this thing, and I was like, I want to be good soil. I want to be something where God can produce stuff, and I just believe Him. So I'm going to read. Let's see. Pull out your notes here, and we're going to get into this part now. Mark chapter 4, verse 20 says, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word. Everybody say, hear the word. And accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's Mark. Matthew 13:23 says, as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Everybody say, understands it. And he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, another 30. And in Luke 8:15, it says, as for that in good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, everybody say, hold fast. Hold it fast, and in an honest and good heart. Say that, in an honest and good heart. And then he throws in embarrassed fruit. Everybody say, with patience, with patience. Okay, so here's our first fill in the blank. Hear the word, hear the word. Do you perceive what God's word means? See, that's the key. That's a key now. This is about having a mind of Christ, and you read the word, and you perceive what it means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, here's the thing. It starts off with information. It turns into revelation. It becomes like an impartation. Information is it goes into your mind. Revelation is your heart of your understanding begins to perceive it. And you begin to lay hold of it. And then it turns into something that you begin to have life of it. It's called impartational. Revelation 1:17 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we want to hear. Everybody say, I want to hear. Okay, number two, accept the word. The second fill in the blank, this is the definition. But each of these are definitions, and I'm just turning the definitions into questions. So the word accept, when I looked up the word accept, it says to take upon yourself. Do you take the word upon yourself? Take upon yourself. To take it upon yourself. To take the word, when you hear it, take it upon you. You hear it. And then you accept it. You take it upon you. You don't let. See, this is that thing about the hard soil. The Satan comes and steals the word before you even take it. But the good soil takes it. You take it upon you. This is going to be mine. This is going to be mine. I'm taking it upon myself. This is my word. This is a word for me. I'm going to take it upon myself. So that's key. Accept it. Take it. Take it. I heard your words. I took them. I ate them. I took them. Take it upon yourself. Don't let any things take it from you. That's why, you know, you put something in your long-term memory, it starts to go into your spirit. And you begin to have revelation out of it. And it says those who, I looked up some verses to go along with this, and I just felt that Matthew 11, 29, and 30 was so beautiful too. When you take it upon you, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord is saying, if you learn my ways, you're not going to be stressed out anymore. If you learn me, you're not going to be worried all the time. If you learn me, you're not going to be all fretful and anxiety-filled. You're not going to be on depression medicine. When you learn, you'll take Him as your medicine. And you'll let go of the things. I know people gone through seasons, had that, and suddenly begin trusting in the Lord, and God does a healing in them. He does this stuff, guys. He does this stuff. Spiritual reality dictates physical reality. The eternal Word of God overrules in the realm of physical matter when it's laid hold of. Number three, do you understand the Word? And the word understand, amazing. It says, the word understand was put it together. Isn't that amazing? Put it together. So you're sitting there and to get understanding of it, you got to put it together and how it works for you. Isn't that amazing? Do you put it together? Isn't that something? I'm thinking, I forgot what psalm it is, but it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that, who build it. unless the Lord watches. He's the watchman, the who's watch it in vain. And then it says, I didn't put this in long-term memory yet, I guess, but it says, it's about giving your beloved sleep. It says, it's not good to go to bed, to rise up early and go to rest late, eating the bread of anxiousness or the bread of toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. See, now, if you're wrestling with sleep, that would be a good verse to chew on. If you're wrestling with sleep, Psalm 23 is your baby. Psalm 23, just go through that, the imagery, the power of that. Psalm 23 would make you sleep like a kitten. Putting the word in, ruling over your night, putting it together. This is the verse that I have on your paper. I want you to look at Mark 4:24 for putting it together. It says, and Jesus said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. So that's when you put it together, when you understand it. For the one who has, more will be given, and the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Put it together so nobody can take it from you. Own it. Take it upon yourself. Put it together in your life. And lastly, hold the word fast. And the word, the definition there is to keep possession of it. Keep it. Keep possession of it. Do you keep possession of it? And the verse I put there is, who finding one pearl of great value went and sold all he had and bought it. In other words, is the word of God so precious to you that you go, I'm not going to do this right now. I got this great pearl I'm working on here. I got this. It's highly valuable to me. I want to tell you, I take a verse there, and if you just take some verses and just start reading through it a few times, and you just tell the Lord, I'd like to know this, your spirit will start working on it. And as you apply it and think about it, you begin to possess it. It begins to work its way into you, and the seed begins to grow in your heart. And everybody says quietly, amen. That's right. Yes, amen. So we're going to get to, in about 3 more minutes, we're going to get to our communion time, but I'll signal that. I want to talk to you about what area in your life you're thinking right now, gee, I would like to be more productive in this area in Christ. I'm going to throw something at you here. Questions. Everybody say questions. Questions that can be so powerful. Satan used a question to tempt Adam and Eve to, well, actually, he's talking to the woman. He said, has God said? And with a question, he sowed doubt. And he's not giving up that. He uses that strategy all the time to sow doubt, by get you to question what God said. Okay? Did anybody get what I just said? Have you been plagued with questions? Hello. How many of you this last week had a whole slew of questions come to your mind that undermined your confidence in God? Okay, understand. Now, here's the second question in the Bible. And the Lord said to the man, where are you? Now, these questions I've written down answer that question. They take that question and they probe with that question a little bit more. Where are you? Where are you in your life right now? Where are you really? Where are you with the Lord? See, that's what the question was. Adam, where are you? And of course, he reacted and goes, we're afraid because we're naked and we're ashamed, so we hid ourselves. We're hiding from you. What are you hiding? What are you ashamed of? What do you fear? What are you trying to control and get out of the way of God? See, those are the questions that when you're good soil, you want to say, I'm right here. Redeem me. Help me. Help me grow. Right? Are you there? The last question in the Bible is kind of interesting. I used to think it was Babylon, Babylon, why art thou fallen? Because somewhere I thought I read that, but I guess exclamation point. And it depends on the version. Sometimes it's, but it's a question about the great city of Babylon. Or what, you know, what happened to this great city or some question like that. You can look it up. It's easy to find. But here's the point. The last question in the Bible is asked by people who never gave their lives to Jesus. So if you respond to the Lord and begin to ask good questions, hey, here's good question, bad question. Ready? You tell me, is this a good question or a bad question? Why does this always happen to me? That's a bad question, isn't it? Why? It promotes self-pity, right? It promotes self-centeredness. Here's a better question for that same thing. I wonder how God's going to work in this to bring glory to Him through my life. That's going to be fun to see. They got a whole different question going on. Isn't that powerful? It puts you more in a expectancy, in a mode of not selfishness, but anticipation. How is God going to work in this? It's a different question. Questions are so powerful. So would you turn over the page on the back there? And I was telling the pastoral gang in the room there a little bit. I said, you know, I got up in the morning, and I had my coffee, and I asked the Lord, I said, now, Lord, in your heart, what in the world is this message about? And suddenly these questions float up out of me. So I felt like an anointed moment where God just dropped questions in my heart. And I just started writing questions. So here's the questions. Would you look at the back of the paper with me? And then we're going to jump into communion. Do you love Jesus more than your life on earth? Do you love Jesus more than your life on earth? What is the center of your life? Why is it at the center? Is the Word of God more valuable to you than the opinions of man? Is pleasing the Lord with your life your motive for living? When you think through the big decisions you face, do you spend time seeking the Lord's wisdom in the matter? Do you look to the Lord to order your steps? Do you submit your plans to Him? Are you sensitive to His leading in your life? Do you own the conviction that the Lord's will for your life is the best life you can live? Come on, somebody highlight that one. I felt like I bumped into God really big, like, hey, who's your daddy? Do you own the conviction that the Lord's will for your life is the best life you can live? That's a great, great question. Do you desire to share the deepest joys that walking with Jesus brings? I want to share the joys that Jesus gives when you walk with Him. Don't you? Here's a simple one. Are you teachable? Are you faithful? Now look at this one. Are you valuable to the Lord as someone He can rely on? Are you valuable to the Lord as someone He can rely on? And the last question is, what is the message of your life? I'm so grateful because we're going to have communion. And if there's frustration down in your soul because of any question, the Lord wants to do something to unlock that frustration and to bring His blessing into your life. Hallelujah. It's been good trusting in the Lord, hasn't it? It's like you were in a rough season and you just kept trusting and trusting, and something quickened inside of your life and you said, I'm going to keep showing up. And you kept showing up. And you told me, I want to make this my church family. And then the season changed. And the blessing of the Lord entered. And you got the first taste of a runway of things that are going to take off in your life. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it good how God is? He has everything planned. It's going to get better and better. And better, you just trust Him and watch Him add this to you. The Bible says that He adds wealth to your life and puts no sorrow with it. He's going to increase the blessings on your life because you have chosen to honor Him. There will be temptations to falter and all that kind of stuff just like it comes. But lock on, buddy. Lock on. That wasn't the CD, apparently. I don't put that one in there. But turn that down a little bit, and we'll use that. Okay, let's go ahead and hand out the bread. and we will partake together. And everybody take a portion and hold it, would you, until we're all served? I just profoundly want to tell you that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the first thing that was on his mind, the first thing that he actually said, and if the people here of Good Friday, we kind of went through this, but the first thing that Jesus said was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The first statement that Jesus made on the cross, that he was concerned for the centurions that were crucifying him. He wanted them to be forgiven because they didn't know what they were doing. They were causing his blood to pour out. And that very blood that was being poured out was their redemption. The second thing he said on the cross was when the thieves kind of got into it. One of them started putting down Jesus, and the other one said, "You're nuts." This is my translation. "We deserve to be up here. He's innocent." And somehow this guy, this thief on the cross, says, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And the second thing that Jesus says on the cross is, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The third thing he said was, because his mom now didn't have him to take. Anyway, he wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of. And John, who leaned against him, you know, in the upper room at the Last Supper, he looked down and he said, "John, behold your mother. Mom, behold your son." Everything Jesus is doing. So this is all about us dying to something. When we take communion, it's like, I want to put to death something. Today, the worry is going to go. Open up. Jesus isn't worried about anything. Have this mind. He's not worried. He's healing you. Let it come in. Anybody in the room need the non-worrying Jesus to take rule over your heart? Jesus is confident. He will turn everything that's negative into a positive if you put all your faith and trust confidently in him. Let him have your heart. Let's lift the bread. Father God, in the holy name of Jesus, we bless you that you gave yourself as a model for us to give ourselves. We're not dying for anybody's sins, but we can lay down our lives for one another. We pray, Father, for the power of your redemptive work to go like a seed in us today. I'm in a prophetic mode, and there is an awareness in my spiritual consciousness here that today, there's someone here that you've changing your mind about how you are walking, and you're going to start walking with the Lord now. It's making sense to you today. There's a shift on the inside. There's a shift on the inside. You're saying, "I'm going to trust the Lord with my life now." You've been in an atmosphere where God was mocked, and you kind of bought into it. But in the spirit and the presence of God today, you see that that's worthless. That the way you were was thinking was worthless thinking. And that the Lord is redeeming your heart. You're going to start off small, but this seed's going in. It's going to work. It's going to work. So you just keep showing up. Now in the name of Jesus, let's partake of the bread. together. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the fourth thing that Jesus said on the cross. My God, Psalm 18, he quoted Psalm 18. But here's what he did. He said, he didn't say, oh God, oh God. He said, my God, my God. He affirmed that he knew that this was the moment. And he said those words that we could always have a sense that God would be with us no matter what we felt. Always. No matter if you feel forsaken, Jesus says, I know how that feels. Because the sin that ravaged you, I took it on me and it ravaged me. And I broke its power over you. That's the power of the cross. The next thing he said was, I thirst. Why did he say, I thirst? He said, I thirst because he had bled out. It took the average man 6 days to die on a cross. Jesus bled out in 6 hours. They whipped him so, they pummeled him, they ripped the flesh off of him. He just couldn't even talk. This is what he said. I thirst. So he could finish declaring. And they put up, and you know when they put the sour wine up there? It fulfilled a prophecy of one of the Psalms. He did it because it fulfilled the word. On the cross, he's still thanking scriptures. He gets enough moisture in his mouth to yell, it is finished. It is finished. The rule and the tyranny of sin over your soul and mind is finished. The power of the devil had, it's finished. He can't do it because Jesus paid it in full. Every sin is paid. There's no available ability for the adversary to chew you up unless you let him. And then the last thing he said, he quoted another scripture, but he added the word Father to it. He said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And the joyful reunion with in 6 hours, the joyful, well, that's actually a rough season starting with the night before in the garden. Jesus redeemed us from our sins. Let's lift the cup and praise his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the blood. And today we receive the healing grace of Jesus over our hearts and minds. We choose to have this mind that's in us, that's in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Father, for healing power by the blood to go in. We just claim healing from all sickness right now in Jesus' name. By your stripes, we are healed. We were healed in Jesus' name. We praise you for it. We praise you for healing mentally in Jesus' name. I'm just going to just, by faith, just declare, there's certain ones of you, you're not going to need the drugs anymore. It's going to go. It's going to go. He's going to heal the cells in the brain. There's things emotionally that are going to go. They're going to go, and you're not going to be crippled by the way you felt and stuff. Jesus is perfect in his healing power and capacity. There's things in the body that the Lord is addressing. You're going to receive healing in the healing grace in your body. Hallelujah. There's some of you, this just the healing in relationships, because as you're receiving this today, the Lord's untangling things that have been negative through with people. He's reaching in that way. There's some of you, the blood of Jesus is going just for your into your future, and you're going to start prospering, and he's broken the curse over poverty. I'm telling you, Jesus is good. He's good. And the blood has done this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Let's lift it and drink it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We finished this particular series. Can we stand together as we dismiss? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, there may be some of you that just want some more follow-up prayer. We have that available today. Let's lift our heads and our hearts and our hands and say, Lord, we just give you praise. We seal everything that you've done in the realm of the Spirit. We seal it to our hearts. We seal mercy and truth. We tie it to our necks, to our hearts, to our ears. We thank you, Lord, for binding us and bonding us to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the impartation of your presence here today. Hallelujah. We want to take this with us and walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have never started your life with Jesus and you want to, come on down and we will pray with you to begin your life in the Lord.